Turn your Bibles, if you will, to Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. And we're going to just start off here. And I've got something for you. You didn't know you was going to get something, but since you came, I didn't announce it in advance. But since you're here, Brother Mark, if you would help me out on this side, give that out. As far as they go, for short, I'll get you some next time. Brother Bobby, would you mind passing these out, brother? That'd be great. Pass those out. I got a map for you. It's not as good as the map probably you have in the back of your Bible, but it'll help you out so you won't have to go from the back of your Bible to here. We're going to take a look and consider about the church at Thessalonica. The church at Thessalonica. They're in Greece. And so this map will help us out with some of the regions and such as that. Oh, don't think it's going to be boring, or it will be boring, but it's not going to be boring if we put our hearts and minds into it and see that it's in the Word of God to help us. What we want to do is we'll start off in the book of Acts, and then we'll end up over there in those epistles to this Thessalonican church, if you will, the church at Thessalonica. So on this map you see here, and I know since it's in grayscale, it's in black and white, you see that two journeys of the Apostle Paul are pointed out. And thank you, brother. And did everybody get one on this side, Brother Mark? All right, good deal, good deal. You see here, the first missionary journey, as it's referred to, starts at Antioch over here to the middle of the page on the right, over there in Syria, north of Syria. They're south east of Tarsus and Seleucia. It goes there through Cyprus and then over to the region of Pamphylia there in Asia Minor. Comes up to Antioch, and that's Antioch and Pisidia, as we hear and see reference in the scriptures. Over to Iconium. Nope, sorry. Yeah, no, that's right. Over to Antioch, up to Antioch and Pisidia, Iconium, Derbe. And then back over to Perga, Attalia, and then back over to Seleucia and to Antioch and so forth. That's his first journey. Okay, we'll see about that here. The beginning of that, we're just going to take a look at it quickly. Acts chapter 13, verse number 1. Now there were there in the church that was in Antioch certain prophets and teachers as Barnabas and Simeon, who was also called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene and Manon, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." Verse 3 of Acts 13. And then when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. And so that's the beginning of that journey that I just pointed out to you there, from Antioch, Cyprus, on up into Asia Minor some, and then back around. That was the journey that Paul saw as he was yet known, and he and Barnabas went on. Acts chapter 14, come over here to around verse 26, all right? And so, and verse number 19 of Acts chapter 14 tells about that Antioch and Pisidia, okay? And Iconium and such as that. Maybe somebody would say, "So, well, how do they get these maps?" Well, they get them from the Word of God, okay, right out of the Scripture, and know where these cities were or are, and have made these from the outline that we have in the Scripture, the different cities that they went to. We'll pick it up in verse number 26 of chapter 14, where the Scripture says, "And then sailed to Antioch," that's in Syria, that's one over here to the east, "and from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. And when they were come, they had gathered the church together, rehearsed all that God had done with them, and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles." So that's the ending of that first missionary journey. This is the pattern. Much in the Scripture, many things in the Scripture were taught by pattern, okay, by pattern. And so we see this pattern in that brethren are sent out from a church. They go and they minister, they witness, they preach the gospel. Sinners are saved. Pardon me, they're baptized. A church is established. But then in time, that church that sent them receives a report about what went on, what happened, and what the brother was done. I believe that in the Scriptures, we understand, of course, the Apostle Paul, during the course of this journey, as he was known, was became known as Paul during this journey. Okay, forgive me. We see that over in Acts chapter 13, verse 9. So Saul, who became known as Paul during that journey, we see that reference in the scripture. And we see this pattern about how churches are established. Mission work is done. It's a one is sent, and they preach, they baptize believers, and then there's accountability yet back to the church that sent them. Okay, that's in its simplest form. We have that example and pattern that's there. That's what we follow. Now, because of communication, in our day, we as churches might determine to do some things differently. We can communicate easier. We can do travel easier than they could in those days. And it's whatever the Lord has given responsibility to His churches to propagate, to fulfill the commission. But then with what we choose to do, you know, we need to follow in the guidelines of the Scriptures, and we might do more. We need to make sure it's according to the Word of God and not against the Word of God, but we sure don't need to do less, okay? And whatever that we would decide to do as a church, it needs to be according to the Scriptures, and know we are responsible for it. With responsibility comes accountability, rather. We have accountability in it. Then in Acts chapter 15 and verse number 36, we see here, as we refer to it, the second missionary journey, and you're going to see that coming here, that as is listed on this map, from Jerusalem to Antioch, Tarsus, up through Asia Minor, on over to Troas, Neapolis, Philippi, and over into Greece, there in the region of Macedonia and Achaia, down to Athens, Corinth, and such as that. Thessalonica was up there to the north, across the water, the Aegean Sea, over to Ephesus, and ultimately down to Caesarea. Now, we refer to that as the second missionary journey. And we want to read about that. Acts chapter 15, verse number 36. Acts 15, verse number 36. And some days after Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do." And Barnabas determined to take with them John Mark, whose surname was Mark, Barnabas' nephew, his sister's son. But Paul thought it not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia. And you can see that on that's a region there. In Asia Minor that they went through on the first missionary journey, and went not with them to the work. And this contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus, unto Cyprus. And Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia. So you can see those regions on this map. Okay, those are like regions, like maybe we would think of more of the county, okay, or maybe even a state, confirming the churches, okay? And so this is the beginning of this second missionary journey. And within this, we want to take a look at the church at Thessalonica, okay? It's going to be out of order. You might say, "Well, Brother Jim, why aren't we going to take a look at the church of Philippi?" Well, what I got was the church of Thessalonica. and as I was reading and studying, and so, well, it made more sense to do that. But this is what I've got. I was just burdened that we take a look at this church. Okay. Let's take a look here at the end, just to give you this note here in Acts chapter 18, the end of the second missionary journey. Okay, just to have that in our minds, this trip that was made in Acts chapter 18, verse number 22, "And when he had landed at Caesarea and gone up," that is going to Jerusalem, "and saluted the church, he went down to Antioch." Okay, so that's the ending of that second missionary journey, as we refer to it. We need to understand that we're coming to Acts chapter 17, and that tells us about the apostles, the apostle being called to Thessalonica, or coming to Thessalonica, and the ministry that was there. I want you to understand that this is a result of something that took place in the previous chapter, okay? And I think it's important that we know this. The providential working of God. God moves and God's work works. We pray for the Lord's leadership, okay? And that's not a bad thing. We do. But the thing is, understand, we have a promise that the Lord is going to lead us. He's going to lead our church. He's promised to do that. There won't be a time where the Lord won't lead His people. He's promised that. That's written in stone. Now, maybe the leadership is don't move in particular, other than those things I've already told you to do. See, there's a standing order of what we're to do. But then we have the particulars of day to day to day, month to month, and week to week, month to month, year to year, particulars right here in front of us that we need to know the leadership of the Lord in. And so that's the reason I tell you, pray. Pray for the church. Pray one for another. Pray for me as your pastor. Pray the Lord to help us to be sensitive to the leadership of God. The Lord's going to lead. We just need to be on that frequency, if you will, okay? We need to know what He wants us to do. In particular, we need to hear that. That wooing, that still small voice of the Lord, we need to know that. And I think we see an example of that here in Acts chapter 16. So understand the work at Thessalonica is a result of what we're going to read here. In Acts 16, verse 1, then came he to Derbe and to Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus. Okay, so you can follow this here on your map. The journey has already begun. We saw how it started in chapter 15, and they're up here in this region of Cilicia or Iconium. Galatia, at the town of Derbe, okay? Derbe and Lystra. You see them right there. They're in kind of like battleship, B and C 4, okay? That's where that's at on the map. And an important thing here, there's this man Timotheus that he comes in contact with. The son of certain woman, Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess and believed, but his father was a Greek. Okay, so this is a man. He's part Jew. He's part Greek. Okay, Timotheus, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. So you see those towns that are on there, and there were works there, weren't there? Him would Paul have to go forth with him and took and circumcised him because of the Jews. And so there was this pressure for the Jews to receive him, and Timothy was willing to be circumcised. It wasn't necessary for him to be circumcised, but what Timothy and Paul were doing is they were taking the high road. Okay, this is an issue. Okay, it means nothing in regards to salvation, but so you won't be offended, and you will receive this Gentile. He'll go ahead and be circumcised. And so they did it. I believe that Timothy submitted to that for the sake of being ministering unto them, which were in those quarters, Jews in those quarters. For they knew all that his father was a Greek. Okay, so they had that, the Jews would have that quarrel against him. And as they went through the cities, they delivered them the degrees for to keep, commandments of the Lord that were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. Remember those things that were that the circumcision came about, the whole thing about Judaism came about, and there was a command to the Gentiles about what should be, instruction to the Jews about the way it's going to be. And so those things are there, and other things about operation in the church, no doubt. And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. Now when they had gone throughout Pergia and the region of Galatia, so you see the region of Galatia, the region of Pamphylia and Pergamum, okay, up there more towards the west, and the region of Galatia, were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. We don't know the detail about it. Let's read. After they were come to Mysia, okay, and that, I believe, if my memory serves me right, Mysia is over there by Troas, if I'm not mistaken. It's another little town, a little bit north there, not shown on this map. They say to go to Bithynia. See that up there to the north, to the south of the Black Sea, the region north of Asia. Okay, there's Mysia, the region of Mysia there in Asia, kind of east of Troas. So it is a region, not a town. And then Bithynia is over there further northeast of that. Things just weren't working. There was nobody that would be willing to gather together to preach to. As they would witness, there would be those that just wouldn't receive it. Remember how it's been? They would go and they would preach, or they'd go to the synagogue, or they'd go to the public place where philosophers met together, like Mars Hill and such as that. Preaching would be done. There would be those that would mock and harangue them and carry on, but then there'd be those that wanted to know more. Well, that's not happening. They say, okay, well, let's go on up north. Let's continue to work here in Asia, Asia Minor, and since it seems like the Lord's closed the door here in Mysia and in this region, let's go east. Let's go ahead and go north up to Bithynia. That seems to be what we understand here. In many, verse number 7, and they were come to Mysia and assayed to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. How would the Spirit suffer them not? Well, they couldn't get freedom to go. There was robbers out on the road. We would say you couldn't rent a car. Your transmission broke down. You know, whatever it was. Maybe there's sickness. There was sickness in their midst, and they couldn't travel sick. And so by that sickness, well, we don't know, but it was something that they knew they just couldn't get there. Can't get there from here. They wanted to. They prayed. They desired to. Just couldn't get there. It wouldn't work. Let's refer back to the fruit of the Spirit of patience. Something makes sense. Seems like we ought to do it. Everything's laid out there. There's no absolute reason why we can't. But we can't. We need to just go ahead and get down on our knees before God and say, okay, Lord, help us to wait on you. Get things fixed in your time. Give us wisdom and help to get things fixed that we can work on or what we can do, and show us what you'd have us to do. It could have been, we don't know, could have been that there would have been those that would have killed them up there in that region. Could have been that there was others in another direction that the Lord wanted worked on first. We're going to see that that's the case. But the Lord, we ask the Lord to work. We ask the Lord to help us understand His leadership. And when He does, we need to just rest in it. I may need you to remind me of that sometime, okay? But that's the way it is. So they want to go. They want to go. It makes sense. It makes sense for them to do so. But the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas. So they're there in Troas. You see that town there on the Aegean Sea. And a vision appeared unto Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. You know that song, Send the Light? Send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine forevermore. What's it go on to say? We have heard the Macedonian call today. Send the light. That's where this is from. And the Apostle Paul, the Lord gave him this vision. We won't have such. It won't be that way. Today we got the Word of God. Those things, he was an apostle. The Lord worked that way with his prophets and the apostles. He did because of that time of transition. We've got the Word of God, but we do have the leadership of the Spirit. I'm of the opinion it won't come in a vision. It won't come in a dream. But it will come in the leadership of the Lord. Remember, we got the Spirit of God. Not only the Spirit of God dwelling within us as the children of God, we've got the Holy Spirit work of the Comforter in the church. And He will lead us. And we just need to be sensitive unto it. We need to seek to purge ourselves of our sin and that our fellowship with the Lord would be close. But Paul had this vision in the night. There's this man of Macedonia. You see where Macedonia is? It's up there north of Greece and up there, Neapolis and Philippi and Apollonia and then coming to Thessalonica. It's up there in that region. It doesn't say who the man is, but there's a man and he's praying. He says, come over and help into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Okay, so this is a result, this church at Thessalonica, the church at Philippi, the church, any church that may have been at Apollonia or otherwise, is a result of this working and this leadership of the Lord. They said northeast, and the Lord says, no, northwest. And he worked. And so we don't need to rest against the things of the Lord as he does work in our lives. Again, I may need you to remind me of that. They had to get on the water, it seems, rather than staying on the land. Maybe that was an issue with some. I don't like big water. Some of you have been on cruises. I have no desire to go on a cruise. That's just me. I'm not saying it's bad to go on a cruise. I just don't like big water. I don't like to get in Whippoorwill Creek. You know, I just don't like and water where you can't see the coast. I just don't like it. Maybe that was a problem with them. Maybe it's I'm boat brittle. They just didn't want to go. But the Lord said, no, you need to go. So they had the apostle had this vision, and they immediately endeavored to pursue that. And they knew, they were assured that the Lord had called them to preach the gospel. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came straight. You know, it came with a straight course to Samothrace, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi. And again, Brother Jim, why wouldn't we go ahead and take a look at Philippi first? Well, one day we will, Lord willing, but the Lord impressed me about dealing with this church. Let's look over here in Acts chapter 17. Let's just take a little bit of a look here. The apostles been to Philippi. You know about those things, I trust, that have happened there further on in chapter 16 of Acts. Here, he's left the house of Lydia, and we talked about that comfort this morning that they experienced there, one of another, those brethren that the Lord had saved in that city, brothers and sisters there, and the Apostle Paul and Silas, they're having been put in jail, shamefully entreated, as we're going to see him writing to the Thessalonican church. And they departed from there. And in chapter 17, verse number 1, now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica. And there was a synagogue where was a synagogue of the Jews. So those cities they passed through, that's how we know that. And Paul, as his manner was, this is the way he operated, went in unto them, and 3 Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. So the brother Paul, he went there on Saturday, and remember how it was? The account of the Lord Jesus Christ was that they would have a time, evidently, where they would stand up for to read. Remember when Jesus read out of Isaiah, and he told them that today this Scripture is fulfilled. Remember that? Well, evidently, there was an opportunity. That we have other accounts in the Scripture. I think it is in the book of Acts where the brethren, the Jews there at the synagogue would say, any of you other brethren have anything to say? And so when Paul was given an opportunity, 3 Saturdays in a row there at the synagogue, he preached unto them. What did he preach? Preached the gospel unto them. He preached that all the Old Testament, the Pentateuch, all the prophets, the writing of all that that's taken place, all the way down to Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, he is the Christ. He preached the same thing that we saw Peter preaching to Cornelius, that we saw Philip preaching to the Ethiopian eunuch and those of Samaria. We saw him, no doubt he preached the same thing that John the Baptist preached. And so he preached unto them. And so he reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging, this is the key, that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. Yes, the Old Testament Scriptures do speak of a Messiah, and Jesus of Nazareth is him. That's what he preached. That same old story. Oh, what a living story. Not a story that's old and wore out, but the account of life through the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse number 4, and some of them believed. Praise the Lord. Isn't that what the Lord sent them there for? There were those that were there that God was going to get the word of God to them, the preaching of the gospel, and he was going to move and save them. And that's what he did. And so the missionaries that we sent out, if we ever have a missionary work, a missionary that we send out again, you know, directly with authority from our church, you know, if the leadership of the Lord is in it, we can know that the Lord will take it and He'll accomplish His will and His way in it. Because if the Lord's behind it, He's going to do what He wants to do. And the Word of God will be preached at the least. And the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ will be preached, and the seed of the Word of God will be sown, and at the least the Word of God will have gone out. But we pray and desire that there would even be souls that would be saved as a result of the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we could, as we support brethren or we send brethren, if we know and know that the leadership of the Lord is that He's behind this, it will go and it will accomplish what He desires. And verse number 4, and some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women not a few. And look at this. Gentiles are being saved, right? At the preaching of the Word of God. And look here. Look here. The Scripture refers to the nation of Israel, the filling up of their wickedness. The nation, talked to one here not too long ago that has a friend who their friend and family are Jewish, and this one has a desire for them that the Lord would save them. They desire to be a good witness to them. But see, anytime a man will hang on to religion, it doesn't matter what flavor it is, he's going to hang on to religion, he's not going to have Christ. And look what happens here with these. But the Jews, which believed not, moved with envy, and took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city of Thessalonica on an uproar, and assaulted the house of this man Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. So we're going to stop right here for now, and we'll pick it up here next time. But the Jews, they don't want it. They like their religion. You know what? I believe that what we practice here and you know, our religion, if you will, I believe it's right. I believe it's from the Word of God. But you know what? If it's wrong, I want what's right. I mean, you know, Brother Jim, you would take that position to even think that we might be wrong? No, I believe we're right. But anything that we're not right in, I want what's right. Don't you? I'm not looking for God to line up with me. I want to line up with the Lord. That's what we need to desire, and we want. And so, encourage you to read this chapter in Acts, and you can read that in advance. Take a look at those cities, maybe look at those journeys and kind of get that in your mind. What we want to continue to do is we want to get the interconnect of the Scriptures. Not that 1 and 2 Thessalonians are just some books out there waving in the wind, but we want to see where they attach to. Because you know what? Those people in that church are just like us. No different. Yeah, they're in a different part of the world and they spoke a different language. But you know what? They had challenges. They had the world coming at them continually. They had a change by the salvation of the Lord, the change that was manifested in their lives, and then the attack of those against it. Remember, when the good work of God is going on, there's always going to be opposition. Always. When the people of God are trying to stand for the truth of His Word, there's always going to be a challenge. There's going to be challenges in 2013. May the Lord help us. We need His help. We can't stand on our own, but we can stand in that He's given us. And may the Lord help us. May the Lord help us. May the Lord help us to be faithful to Him, true to Him, and in His Word. Give us understanding and application of His Word and be about the business that He's given us to do. We've got an example here of this church there in northeast Greece. All right, we'll see some of the things that they deal with and how the Lord works and helps them, what the apostle has to say to them.